Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This is just one segment of today's show. You can hear all of our conversations about New York's vibrant cultural scene on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Video games have come a long way since Pac-Man, both in how they look and how they sound. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. These days, high-tech video game graphics are not complete without hi-fi audio as well. Composers now make major careers out of writing music for the video game screen. Pop artists from Snoop Dogg to Green Day have made deals with game manufacturers to feature their music. And orchestras are presenting lavish concerts of video game music to sold-out houses. In a few minutes, we'll talk with a classically trained pianist who goes by the name Video Game Pianist. But first, joining us is video game music composer Tommy Tallarico, whose music you're hearing in the background. He's on the line from San Jose, California, where the annual Game Developers Conference is taking place. Tommy, welcome to Soundcheck.
How you doing?
Okay. And with us here in the studio is Brian Garrity, the business editor at Billboard Magazine. Brian, welcome back.
Good to be here.
This is still going to come as a surprise, despite the popularity of gaming, to many people, to find out that music, video game music, has become such a kind of growth industry.
What happened is in the mid-90s, I've been involved in the game industry for over 16 years, been a video game composer, and, you know, in the mid-90s when CD-ROMs kind of hit, you know, we were now able to have the technology and the recording budgets to record orchestras and live musicians and things like that. So, you know, we get the same treatment now that any motion picture would.
Hmm. So, Brian, is that what it comes down to, is that the video games are big business, and so there's big money to be thrown around for music and other stuff?
Absolutely. When you look at the size of the budgets on these video games and the amount that they sell, video game makers want to create as a compelling experience as possible, and, you know, great music is, you know, part and parcel with that.
Is there a way to track just how hot this part of the music industry is?
It doesn't really chart the way that normal, you know, the Billboard tracks other areas of the industry. So it's more of kind of a word of mouth kind of thing, or an anecdotal type business.
And yet there have been some recordings of music from various video games, and some of them seem to have done quite well.
Certainly. I mean, you now see, it's not uncommon to see the soundtrack to a video game put out as an album for purchase. They don't tend to sell a whole lot, but they do go out there.
Right. Now, Tommy, you were talking about just a moment ago how, you know, it's become almost like scoring for film. There is a big difference, though, isn't there, between scoring for a video game and scoring for a movie?
Absolutely. I mean, when you score for a film, or television, it's a very linear experience. You know, at 40 seconds, the door opens and you have to do this. And then at a minute and 20 seconds, the explosion happens. So you're right around the scene. Whereas with video games, and there's dialogue and all these things going on, you know, they call it background music. In video games, I like to call it foreground music. You know, I'll sit down with the designer or a producer, and he'll say, okay, we have 100 guys on horseback with swords, and they're all coming to get you. Write a piece of music, you know. So I'm able to really, you know, do what, you know, take that context and that emotion and write an incredible song and not have to worry about what happens at the right time. I've always said that if Beethoven were alive today, he'd be a video game composer.
Uh-huh. Well, he'd probably be composing just about everything, wouldn't he? I mean, you know, he did that in his day. He wrote for all the media that were available to him.
He was always cutting edge, and he always wanted the most people to hear his stuff. And, you know, I call video games the radio of the 21st century, really. As you said on the top of the show, you know, bands like Good Charlotte got discovered in a video game. You know, the Green Day song, American Idiot, was not first heard on MTV or on the radio. It was first heard in a video game, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's become a great device for music to get out there.
Tommy Tallarico is a composer of music for video games. And also, Tommy, you've been touring around with an orchestra concert production.
That's right. Video Games Live is the name of our tour, and we launched it last year at the Hollywood Bowl with the LA Philharmonic to 11,000 people who showed up to our first. It was the biggest video game concert in the world. And this year we're doing a world tour. In fact, the first show is tonight in San Jose during the Game Developers Conference. And what it is it's like it's a full orchestra and choir combined with video and lasers and rock and roll lighting and special effects. And so it's kind of like the energy of a rock concert and the power and emotion of a symphony, all wrapped into a live interactive video game, all going on at once. So we actually, there's parts of the show where I invite people to come up on stage and they play the game while the orchestra is changing the score in real time on the fly, depending on what the person is doing. But we have all of the favorites: Halo, Mario, Zelda, Warcraft, Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, Metal Gear, Sonic. I mean, all of the greatest, Myst, Tron, all of the greatest games of all time. And what's great about it, though, is that it's ushering in a whole new generation of concert goers. You know, a lot of the symphonies across America are trying to figure out how do we get in a new younger generation.
And you're getting 11,000 of them in there on that one night.
Yeah, exactly. No, so, we're selling out all over the place.
But you're also asking the players to do something that classical musicians don't do, which is they have to suddenly react not to the wave of a conductor's baton, but to what happens with the joystick that somebody has just, you know, triggered.
For a lot of parts of the show, that is the case. And the great thing about it is what we've done is the system that we've come up with is actually where the orchestra is on a click track throughout the entire show, because, you know, all of the lights and the video, everything is kind of in sync with that. And then for the interactive segments, they go off the click. And exactly like you said, we've come up with a color system and a way we put the notes on paper and the different gestures from the conductor's hand that, you know, trigger them to go to branch off, just like we do in a game. That's one of our challenges as mm-hmm. video game composers, is to be interactive.
Well, let's hear a little bit of this music from Video Games Live. We're speaking with composer Tommy Tallarico and with Brian Garrity, who is the senior business writer of Billboard magazine. We'll be speaking with the artist known as Video Game Pianist in a few minutes as well. So this is orchestral music from the video game Muse. Is that right, Tommy Tallarico?
The name of the song is Muse, and it's from the game Advent Rising, which I did last year. We used 72-piece Union Orchestra on the Paramount Pictures stage, recorded a choir in Salt Lake City. And, yeah, I mean, people think video game music is a bunch of bleeps and bloops, but that's just not the case.
So how much of your music these days involves full orchestra and a full-on chorus the way this does?
I would say probably 70% of the stuff that I do is all live orchestra now.
Wow.
So, but what we like to do, though, is combine electronic drummers and percussionists and things sometimes. It really depends on the style. That particular piece you just heard was we used 13th century Italian, and we kind of wrote it like an opera. And again, kind of like what I was saying before, where, you know, the designer just said, okay, here's the scene, write to it. You know, it gives me the freedom to really explore stuff that people have never done before.
Right. So as we mentioned before, big budgets are available for the, not just for the creation of the games, but for the music that's such an important part of the games. We're speaking with Tommy Tallarico, who is a composer of music for various video games. Brian Garrity, senior business writer of Billboard magazine. Brian, there was a study done recently that claims that the average gamer is 30 years old and that 75% of heads of households actually play video games. Now, I should hasten to say that this survey was done by the Entertainment Software Association. So
definitely a self-interested party to that respect. But at the end of the day, it's definitely the demographics for video games are expanding. And you're seeing this is not just for kids anymore. Adults really get excited about video games. And, you know, women are getting increasingly excited about video games as well. So you can't really pigeonhole video game players into, you know, a 14-year-old boy anymore. It's just
right.
Not the case.
So, as you say, older people getting into it, women are getting into it. The record companies, to an extent, are getting into it. Last week, Microsoft's Xbox announced a deal with Epic Records. What do you think the record labels are seeing in video games these days?
They're seeing captive audiences. We're in a time where, you know, fragmentation is huge and you know, kids don't listen to the radio in the same way that they did, you know, years ago, but they do play video games, and you have them in these immersive experiences, repetitive experiences where, you know, they hear the same things over and over again, and they're emotionally connected to them as well. So it's great. It's a great promotional tool for acts.
So is it a case of the record labels want to sign the musicians who've done the music for the games, or they want to license the artists they already have in their stable?
By and large, they want to license the artists that they already have and make sure that, you know, they want to try to align their release schedules with the release schedule of a game and say, you know, get a key single into a game before it's out and let everybody hear it and really build that audience.
Well, and Brian, as you say, this is an immersive experience for a lot of people. They spend hours. It's a repetitive experience. You get that music kind of into your system. At some points in some games, the music is all you hear. I mean, there are a few sound effects, but it's not like a film where there's narration and the music is subordinate.
Exactly.
It's out there.
And you're seeing increased interactivity in these games as well, you know, where games where you almost have a radio station-like feature inside the game where you can change the songs, you can basically customize the game to fit your own musical tastes. And, you know, the more choice there is, the more consumers you can theoretically hit.
All right. Brian Garrity, senior business writer of Billboard. We're also speaking with Tommy Tallarico, a composer of video game music. He's been doing this very successful orchestral performances of video game music. And some of this music is available in other sort of genres and styles and media as well. Martin Leung is a pianist who goes under the name Video Game Pianist. And he actually performs a lot of music for video games, much of it on the internet, and he joins us on the phone as well. Martin, do we call you Video Game Pianist?
Yes.
Okay. What do your friends call you? VGP for short? Or?
No, my friends just call me Martin.
Okay. Now, I understand you're a sophomore at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Yes.
So you're classically trained. How did you get involved? I mean, not that I'm asking how you got involved in video games, but how did you get involved in this aspect of it?
Well, music was always the biggest passion in my life. Performing piano, I started piano when I was 4, and I've been playing for 15 years, and I also like playing video games with friends. And when I was a senior in high school, I decided to make a video of myself playing Mario songs at my friend's house just for fun. And we put it on the internet, and it was a success. And then one day, Tommy Tallarico saw the video, and he invited me to perform at Game Developers Conference. And then we talked from there and other performances, and eventually he invited me to perform at Video Games Live.
Mm-hmm. So this orchestral tour that Tommy was talking about a few minutes ago, you've been a part of that.
Yes.
And in fact, where are you right now, Martin?
I'm in San Jose, also at Game Developers Conference.
Hopefully practicing for the gig tonight, Martin.
Yes, definitely.
So we got a special thing. Martin's premiering his Final Fantasy piano arrangement. We've taken over 10 Final Fantasy songs and arranged them in a special piano arrangement. So it's premiering for the first time tonight.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
As a solo piano thing or kind of a piano concerto with orchestra?
No, this is a solo piano thing tonight with Martin.
Okay. Let's give people a chance to hear some of Video Game Pianist at Work and some of his arrangement of that classic Super Mario Brothers. There is music that I had never expected to hear done as a classical piano piece, but it's
the
music.
It brings a tear to your eye, though, doesn't it?
It's bringing many tears to my eyes. Perhaps, Tommy, not in the way that you mean, but I'm kidding.
Have to say, this reminds me of the previous trend of seeing rock bands have like heavy metal albums turned into classical, you know, rearranged for classical.
That's right, yeah.
Like the London Symphony Orchestra does The Doors.
Exactly.
Pink Floyd or something.
Yeah. Martin Leung is Video Game Pianist. How do you put these arrangements together? Is this music, I mean, are there scores out there?
Some music, they have published scores like Final Fantasy. There's a collection called Final Fantasy Piano Collections, which have sheet music. And other songs, such as Mario and Zelda, I did not have access to sheet music, so I had to make my own. So I listened to the songs and wrote it out by ear.
Mm-hmm. So, but with people publishing some of this stuff, it seems like they're taking it pretty seriously. I guess there are royalties involved and all the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting to that, you know. I mean, I always say the video game industry is kind of like the film industry was in, like, the 30s and 40s. You know, it is kind of still the Wild West. We're a relatively young industry. So, you know, we started a nonprofit organization about 5 years ago called the Game Audio Network Guild, or GANG. And there's over 1,200 of the industry's composers, audio people get together. And we, you know, we work with the ASCAPs and the BMIs and working with all the video game publishers to, you know, make sure that the rights are in place. And, you know, a lot of it's just about education at this point. A lot of the video game publishers, you know, don't understand, you know, about music publishing and things like that. So we come in and you know, basically educate them about mm-hmm. that stuff.
We're speaking with Tommy Tallarico, composer of music for video games and producer of the live orchestral performance series known as Video Games Live. Martin Leung is a pianist who performs under the name Video Game Pianist and is performing tonight with the Video Games Live crew in San Jose, California. Brian Garrity is senior business writer of Billboard. He's with me here in the studio. Martin, what do your companions there at the Cleveland Institute of Music, you know, your teachers, your fellow students, they're all studying the classics. What do they think of this?
They're supportive of what I'm doing. My teachers, Paul Shenley and Daniel Shapiro, they approve of what I'm doing. They said, as long as I'm trying my best when I play Beethoven sonatas, they're happy with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's, people are sort of accepting the fact that, I guess, if there are orchestral and choral works being written, that there's a certain kind of heft, a certain weight, a substance to this music that wasn't there maybe 20 years ago?
Yeah, definitely. Video game music has gone far ways since 20 years ago, and it's becoming more and more of an impact on a culture, and I think something that cannot be ignored now. And I think by performing video game music, it's just opening getting new people interested in video game music, and it's really enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah.
And you know, the amazing thing too is when we perform our concerts, I get to watch from the side of the stage, and I see the expression on the oboe player's face when he starts to rip into like Warcraft or Sonic the Hedgehog, and the crowd goes absolutely insane, and they're looking around after the piece is over, getting these amazing applause like it's the second coming of Elvis, and they're looking at each other like, what the heck just happened? We've never heard a reception like this. Mm-hmm. So even for the symphonies, they're really excited because they've never heard applause like this.
Well, I love the idea of the oboist on his way out the door in the morning. I see you later, honey. I'm doing Tomb Raider tonight.
That's right.
Brian, is this industry in the process still of catching up here in the States? Is it a little more, you know, down this road in Japan or Europe at this point?
No, I think, you know, you're seeing, you know, the U.S. in terms of the video game market really being at the fore of a lot of what's going on here. So, especially when we were talking about the fusion of creative with the game itself. You're seeing a real transition of the video game business, you know, transforming from a software business into an entertainment creative business. And that's definitely a cultural shift that the video game industry is going through right now.
Right. And the technology, the consoles themselves, the controllers are becoming increasingly sophisticated. And Tommy was talking before about how there are sometimes places where you can get into the game and change the music associations and stuff. It's really giving the player, the gamer, a lot more control over both the sonic environment and the visual one.
Control and customization is really the key. It's really about defining and creating your own experience, and because, you know, they want you to be as immersed as possible in the game.
Mm-hmm. All right. A final question to you, Tommy. There is this kind of process of maturing going on, clearly. I mean, you've gotten to the point where you can not only write for chorus and orchestra, but actually take one out on the road. Now it looks like some of the well-known film composers of our day, like Danny Elfman and Howard Shore, are beginning to write music for video games. Is that, do those of you who've been in this little community, do you look at them as interlopers at this point, or is
No.
it a sign of the times?
No, not at all. We welcome, Howard Shore and Bill Conti just finished scoring the Godfather video game, and we absolutely welcome because, again, there is always this interactivity, so they need to kind of learn their craft a little bit differently for this medium as well. But with the Danny Elfmans and the Howard Shores and the Bill Contis, bring in the big, big bucks as well. So, and the big contracts and the way that, you know, music publishing and ownership and rights are handled. So for us, who've been in the game industry for 15 years, you know, we say, hey, you know, you just paid Danny Elfman a mil, you know, send some this way.
All right. Well, and 15 years in the gaming industry, that's a lot of history there. We've been speaking with composer Tommy Tallarico, with video game pianist, real name Martin Leung, and with Brian Garrity here in the studio, senior business writer for Billboard magazine. Martin and Tommy, you guys have a concert tonight out there in San Jose. Have fun, and thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
And Brian, thank you for being here with us as well.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again. Up next, we'll tell you about the next big trend in hip-hop. It's called hi-fi. And later, singer Daryl Sherman and bandleader Vince Giordano perform songs from the Great American Songbook. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.